this episode is about the scope of discovery. And so the scope of discovery is outlined in Rule 26B1, and it's just saying what kind of material is actually discoverable and what kind of material is not discoverable. So it's how far does this rule reach, in other words? Well, it says that discovery applies to documents, emails, property, it gives access to property, pictures, audio, recordings, things like that. And it does so regardless of whether or not the material is admissible as evidence at trial. But there are some limitations to this as well, and that means that it doesn't extend to privileged information. It extends only to relevant information. And you need to determine the proportionality of the cost versus the benefit into the case. So, keywords to understand here is it needs to be relevant to a claim and defense that gathers non-privileged information that is proportional to the needs of the case. So let's talk about a couple of these specifically, focusing on relevance and proportionality, because those are going to be our two key features. Our first case was a name I can't pronounce versus Ervos Enters. And what happened here is that it was a employee suing a previous employer for overtime wages. And during discovery, the employer wanted to discover documents related to the employee's citizenship status. The reason for this was because he probably knew that the person was an undocumented immigrant and therefore hoped that by requesting the citizenship status, he would be able to avoid any judgment because the employee would either drop the case or give the documents and have the potential of being deported. So Rule 26B1 says that discovery applies to the relevance of the claim or defense. In this case, the citizenship status does not relate to overtime wages. And so because they're not related, it is not able to be discoverable. And the big part of this, too, was a policy-based reasoning. The court did not want to dissuade people from suing just because of their citizenship status. They didn't want there to be any disparate effects there as well. So, key one is it needs to be relevant to a claim or a defense. Here, it wasn't an adequate defense because your defense of overtime wages would be, hey, I actually paid him all that I did, not, hey, he's not a citizen, so it doesn't apply here. So as far as proportionality goes, we have Oxbow Carbon and Minerals LLC versus Union Pacific Railroad Co. Oxbow had sued Union Pacific, saying that they had violated antitrust policies for non-compete clauses with other railroad companies. And so they'd sued them, and Union Pacific Railroad, during discovery, had requested Oxbow to produce documents from the CEO. And their purpose was specifically to say, hey, there's another factor here that may have been influencing the raising rates that other than us. But this was going to be an expensive search. They conducted a sample of the search and it cost $60,000, produced several thousand documents, and about 11% of those documents were actually related. And so Union Pacific says, well, now give us the rest of the documents. And Oxbow says, no, this is too expensive. We don't want to give you the rest of this document. The key to note here is that this was a multi-million, tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of millions dollar kind of case. And by this point, Oxbow had already spent about $1 million in discovery. And the total to complete the search would have been about $140,000. But the takeaway from this case, there are several. A couple are related to proportionality. But the first one is that defendants can make discovery requests just like plaintiffs can. In this case, Union Pacific was the defendant, but they made a request against the plaintiff for documents that supported their claim. Takeaway number two is that delivery costs can still be extremely high and still be proportional. And that was the case here. The cost was extremely high, but it was proportional. And that's because there are six factors of proportionality that the courts consider and weighs evenly to determine whether or not it's proportional. So these six factors are: you need to consider the importance of the issues at stake, the amount in controversy, and in this case, the amount in controversy was tens of millions of dollars. And so $1 million of discovery costs is not disproportional. The party's relative access to the relevant information, the party's resources, the importance of discovery in resolving the issue, and finally, whether the burden or expense of the proposed discovery outweighs its likely benefit. So those are the six factors of proportionality, and that's really the scope of discovery. You need to have relevant discovery reaches to relevant information that is about the claim or defense and is allowed as long as it's non-privileged information, and that's the limitation we'll get to in the next episode, and if it is proportional. Have a good one. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are four things I want to say. The first thing is, if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro, and you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't are pre-law materials, and the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice. And with that, the fourth thing is, if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable. That is, Law Schoolers is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.